Welcome to Sporadic Phantoms. My name is Robin.
I'm Stevie.
And I'm Kyle.
We can't tell you our last names, out of fear of retaliation. In our last episode, we looked into attending an event held by the Sharing. We got in touch with one of their representatives, who very enthusiastically told me about their upcoming events, including an in-person chapter meeting.
We will be adding a whole bunch of openings for our chapter meeting this Saturday at noon.
Unfortunately, we were obligated to attend an inane speed dating Zoom event first.
See, you have to have an elevated IQ to fully understand it.
Which wasn't really that big of a deal. And then we attended the chapter meeting that weekend, which started off with everyone going through some kind of supposed COVID detector.
Not detected.
We met some of the Sharing's leaders, including Hedrick Chapman.
We have much more to offer than what you're seeing here today. Much more.
I discovered that my niece, Maddie, and my sister, Nicole, were involved with the Sharing.
I always come to the Sharing now. I have lots of friends here. My friend's dad runs the meetings.
We also met Elizabeth Lee, who is a kind-hearted, down-to-earth person who teaches a series of workshops in the Sharing called Be You Now.
I'm pretty involved with the Sharing. I've been leading some workshops.
Despite the questionable things we've encountered while investigating the Sharing, and despite my previous hastily made assumptions, she appears to truly be a force of good within the organization.
I met a teenager named Jess who participated in the Be You Now session.
Be You Now and Elizabeth are helping me get ready for it. You know, become who I'm truly meant to be.
I also got the whole thing recorded, and I don't think Elizabeth is all that nice.
Kill the birds too! Kill any creature you see!
Kyle over here spent some extra time with her and was trying to sneak around the full members meeting, weren't you, Kyle?
Yeah, a plan of mine that failed due to my phone dying, and, well, I'll tell you more in a minute, but we all made it through the day just fine.
Sure, we're fine. And everything seemed just fine at the meeting, mostly. But I'm certain there's more to the Sharing than meets the eye. We have some things to talk about, guys.
You know, maybe we should give the Sharing a chance.
So, the following conversation was recorded the day after we went to the Sharing meeting.
Give the Sharing a chance? What could have happened between, say, 6 and 7 p.m. that day that made you say that?
I'm just saying, I had a talk with Elizabeth, and guys, she explained a lot to me about the Sharing, at least from her side of things. What she's doing with the Be You Now stuff, I can't see why it would be a bad thing. She really wants to help people.
Kyle, I'm sorry to say, but listening to what was going on in her workshop, we can't be so sure about that. I know you think Elizabeth is somehow different than the other Sharing leaders, and that she's some kind of compassionate humanitarian, but it might break your heart when you listen to the recording.
You can't judge a person based on something you heard out of context, Robin. I realized that last night. Yeah, I'll listen to it, but Elizabeth's not the bad guy here.
Okay, you heard what Elizabeth was saying to that kid. Something about killing birds, right? I can see where your mind went with that. You seemed pretty upset before, Kyle. So what did she say that made you change your mind about her? What did she say about the Sharing? What even happened after we left?
Okay, so I had been going around the meeting trying to investigate what we might be overlooking. I was making lots of connections. That scanner they had us go through? That's not any kind of technology I've ever heard of. Except it bears a striking resemblance to something having to do with a little company called MatCom. And you can't ignore how many times they kept emphasizing the hamburgers they were serving. Something was up with that. Not sure what. Well, I'm still trying to figure out how everything fits together, but I know I'm getting somewhere. Anyway, I was going to catch up with Elizabeth after Be You Now ended, and I heard what I later learned was a totally out-of-context snippet of conversation. I got emotional. I needed to know what it was about, So I tried to find the full members meeting. Problem was, I had no idea where it would be. So I was looking all around the community center, and eventually I ran into Elizabeth again. She said she was looking for someone, her mentee, who was supposed to have a full member ceremony that night. But I guess they must have bailed at the last minute. And yeah, I was really upset, so I confronted her. But I feel bad about that now. I demanded to know what she was talking about earlier, and why she would ever mention killing animals. And I immediately saw I had made a huge mistake. I could see that she felt really bad, but it was because she saw how much distress my thoughts were causing me. So she explained to me that it wasn't literal. It was full members related stuff that I can't understand yet. And I realized I had jumped to a conclusion I had already formed in my head, like a self-fulfilling prophecy. You know, I've been so focused on my theories about Dapson, Matcom, and the owls that I realized I'm just looking for it everywhere. And though I'm probably not wrong, that's not the way to go about this. That's not the way to investigate. We have to be more open than that, or else we're going to miss what's in plain sight. And sometimes it turns out to be totally innocuous or a red herring.
Okay, so why do the full members have to talk in code?
Because they're in a cult?
Robin, you don't know what the sharing is about.
And now you do? You know all about it.
Elizabeth and I actually just talked for a long time. She didn't end up going back to the full members meeting. She told me that the sharing is pushing against the capitalistic, patriarchal American individualism that is a major cause of her ingrained sense of isolation. And BU Now is her way of promoting this on a personal and even somatic level. She wants to fight against the fear that divides us. So, if you think about it, what she's doing is pretty radical and revolutionary. And she helped develop the whole course with the founder of the sharing. At the same time, well, I am trying to figure out why they have to speak in code. When Elizabeth was talking, I got the sense that there is some force within the organization trying to undermine what she's doing, and that they're being monitored. I'll give you one guess as to who's doing that.
Who? The billionaires? Peter Stinton?
What Elizabeth and most of the sharing members are trying to do has nothing to do with whatever the billionaires are up to. I don't think being suspicious of the sharing members will get us too far. They're the little guys. If anything, we should try to help Elizabeth. Which means we do need to go deeper into the sharing. We just need to make sure we're using our heads.
So you hung out?
We had a conversation.
In the hallway of the community center?
At her apartment. Why does it matter?
I'm just saying. Don't let the first woman in the sharing who gives you attention cloud your sharp, investigative mind.
Stevie, we just had a personal, heart-to-heart conversation, like human beings tend to have occasionally. And she's one of the most honest people I've ever met.
How can you tell?
It's called emotional intelligence, Robin.
Okay. Well, I'm going to play this recording. We don't need to listen to the whole hour and a half of it, but I'm going to play some snippets from it, and we'll talk about it. The first few minutes are just people lying on the floor, and nothing's really going on yet, so I'll start from when Elizabeth first speaks.
Okay, start to open your eyes if your eyes are closed. Bring yourself back into the space. Let's come to our circle. Take in the people around you. Don't be afraid to make eye contact. Welcome back. How are we all doing? Today, I'd like to talk about choice. We think being able to choose, that's what gives us freedom, right? Being able to do what we want, Then we'll be happy. Then we'll live our truth. And that is such a limiting belief. What happens if our circumstances give us limited options? What if we can't control everything? And then we think, why? Why can't I be who I want to be? Why can't I do what I want to do? Should we throw in the towel and say, well, I can't possibly find happiness. And it must be because of how little money I'm making. It must be because of someone else. It must be where I live. I'm too busy. I'm too stressed. I'm hurting. Someone is hurting me. I'm a victim. But there are no victims. There are no bad guys. We have to understand the difference between what to be responsible for and what we need to allow to happen. The desire to be in control most of the time is what blocks you from being you now. If we allow our thoughts and emotions to be dictated by our circumstances, then we're trapped. But every moment of the day, we get to choose how we think and feel. Really? And isn't that so wonderful? Any feeling that comes, we don't block it, but we can choose to change it. We can choose how we think about it. That's where we find freedom. Freedom has nothing to do with being in control of our circumstances.
Wow.
I want us to all think about this as we're doing our exercises today.
So, thoughts so far?
Well, I guess what she's saying is if we aren't so easily frustrated about negative things in life, life will be easier.
Yeah, making the best of what life gives you. When life gives you lemons and all that.
Yeah, maybe. But something she said rubs me the wrong way.
But there are no victims. There are no bad guys.
Don't you think that's a weird thing to say?
In general, yeah, but is it something she's saying to just get people to think like, hey, I'm not stuck in life?
To me, it's like, you can take that in a really harmful direction, you know? Are there no victims of crimes? Are there not people who do bad things? And she says it like it's an absolute truth. But anyway, on a practical level, we can gather that Be You Now as a concept has to do with allowing things to happen and not having so much aversion to them, right?
Sounds like meditation or something.
Right, I get that. But listen to this next part.
Harold, what's your experience right now being in this circle with everyone giving their attention to you?
I'm noticing I'm feeling a little anxious. I feel I'm perspiring a bit. But it's exciting. I feel like I'm getting better about being seen by others. I feel this warmth from all of you right now, like I'm at home.
What I'm noticing with you is that you seem to really want to get positive feelings from these sessions. And you come back and it's like, let me get that fix again. Does that sound about right?
I'm not addicted to coming here, I swear. I really feel that this has made me more open, and it's impacting my life in so many ways so far.
Can you tell us about what's been happening in your life since you started Be You Now? What differences you've noticed?
I've been noticing that I've been taking more risks lately, and I mean the good kind. I have been feeling like there's something welling up in me, and so I just did it. I picked up my guitar and I started recording again. I feel like all the work we've been doing here, it's been so great. It's really opened me up. I don't have to always feel so stressed about my 9-to-5. I can still be creative. My parents never accepted it. They were always so disappointed that I wanted to go to music school. But I think I'm ready to get back into the open mics and to get my music out there. I feel like I'm ready to just bare my soul and my music again. To be seen again. Without hiding. To be me now.
So what I'm hearing from you is that there's this object in your life, this guitar, that you started to rely on again. I'm hearing that it was something that you used to dedicate a lot of your time to, and it takes you to the past, like dwelling on a memory of that happiness you once felt. So can I ask, what if there's no guitar anymore? What if you were to leave it in the past?
I would probably not have an outlet for my feelings. Probably feel more stressed and frustrated from my job.
So with this guitar, do you see how it's keeping you in an illusion? Do you see how your attachment is not allowing you to be present? It's like you keep lying to yourself. I'm just curious if you realize that.
I'm not sure what you mean.
Harold, what I've been noticing with you in these sessions is that something seems to be really blocking you. You're saying all these things about your music, your guitar, your record. And when I'm receiving this from you, I find myself thinking, you don't need these crutches. That's not you, Harold. You can be so, so much more. I'm talking about being you now. And you come to these sessions week after week, and it's like, I'm almost not sure what to say to you anymore. When I hear you talk about these little things that you're distracting yourself with, I notice that I feel frustrated because I've worked so, so hard, and I've dedicated so much of my heart and energy and empathy into developing and working with this life-changing methodology. I've dedicated so much of my life keeping Lord David Altman's vision alive in the sharing. And you realize there are those who believe we shouldn't bother with any of this work, right? There are those who want to crush BU now and just accept full members before they're ready for it. But this is the way it should be done. Through effort. Through a gradual and beautiful transformation of the mind towards a grateful acceptance of the responsibilities of full membership. Or else the sharing and all it stands for would be cheapened, inelegant. But despite all of this, I'm still not being received by you. And I'm noticing that I feel disappointed in you. And from what I'm noticing in the room right now, I think we're all feeling disappointed in you. Am I right?
Yeah.
But I'm going to choose to channel my disappointment towards teaching you. In the sharing, we are working on being absolutely receptive to the other. No hiding. If you're choosing to hide yourself by forming attachments to illusions that are not you, well, that's your choice, but it means you aren't ready for what the sharing can give you. So if you're going to keep going through life lying to yourself, we can just move on to someone else.
I think you should apologize to Elizabeth and to everyone.
I'm sorry. I don't want to keep lying to myself.
So, do you really need your music? Do you need to play your guitar?
No. It's like I can't just be happy in my own skin.
You can choose to have happiness, totally removed from these attachments. If you use music as a crutch, you can see how you're trapping yourself, right? I'm noticing some tears are coming. When I see your eyes are starting to avoid mine, what's underneath that? Can you tell me what you're experiencing right now?
My mind is... like... I'm wrapping my mind around it. It's just...
Try hearing you ask me that, I notice.
Hearing you ask me that, I notice that part of me is kind of freaked out about accepting it. I keep cutting myself off from being my true self. That's my habit. But the thought of giving up music is scary.
Just sit with that fear for a moment. I want you to reflect on this. This is something we can all reflect on. Thank you for your beautiful share, Harold.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone.
Now do you see why this is so concerning?
I was right. I was right about her before.
That you can't trust her?
No. That she must be part of a resistance group within the sharing. She said there were some people who want to put an end to all the work she's doing.
If that's true, it's gotta be the guys at the top trying to turn full membership into a pay-to-play deal instead of having to do all this personal development stuff.
So, okay, maybe that's happening, but do you not see what she's doing with this poor Harold person? I really don't understand how someone playing a guitar when they get home from work would pose a threat to being their authentic self. And okay, objectively, Elizabeth is really into whatever philosophy she's espousing. It just sounds manipulative. Like there are so many moments where she's just making a 180 switch from being supportive to tearing this guy apart.
She's just being human, Robin. She got frustrated. I also really don't think she's literally saying Harold can never play his guitar again. Maybe him talking about music was just avoiding the real purpose of the exercise.
Which was getting this guy to die inside a little bit.
Well, that's definitely what happened. But I get what you're saying, Kyle. From what I'm understanding, the purpose of the exercise is supposedly to speak about what you're feeling in the present moment. In a kind of exchange with Elizabeth and with the other people in circle. Elizabeth asks questions to help the chosen person get closer to saying what they really feel. That's totally what the exercise should be about. I'm just saying that Elizabeth took it in a pretty extreme direction.
But she's right. Harold started talking about how he was feeling, but then he went off into a tangent about something else. It sounds like he's desperate to have BU Now work for him, and he wants to cut corners and not actually do any of the work of really speaking from the present moment. And Elizabeth wants to keep her workshop's integrity. Just because Harold got a little worked up at the end doesn't mean Elizabeth is trying to tear him apart. And there's more between the lines, guys. I'm telling you. We need to find out what Elizabeth means about the people who want to stop BU Now.
I don't really know what to think. There is for sure something to what she's frustrated about when it comes to us getting a clue where to look next. But I also get that what she's doing with Harold here sounds extreme. She sounded kind of mean, to be honest. Sorry, Kyle, but she did. But I also get that she's saying these things based on philosophies that we haven't researched at all. So who knows if we aren't just being ignorant? Do we have enough context to make any judgment here?
To me, what she's really doing here goes beyond needing to know all of the details of some philosophy. Stevie, maybe this next clip will help you make up your mind. Maybe you'll both get what I mean. But before we listen, I'm obligated to say, Sporadic Phantoms will resume after these messages.
This summer, experience the wonder, the thrills, as you embark on an adventure of a lifetime at Santa Barbara County's hottest family fun destination, the Gardens. Don't miss our wild new safari experience. And learn how the gardens is helping with conservation efforts from our animal experts. And introducing ZSpace 2000, California's third tallest virtual reality roller coaster. Strap on your Oculus VR headset and get ready to travel at hyperspeed through the endless void of anti-space.
Awesome!
It may seem empty at first, but whoa, watch out for those floating masses of flesh. And what else will you find out there?
Whoa, aliens? Even more awesome!
And even more awesome when you realize it's only you, children, who stand any chance at resisting them. The only thing you have to lose is your innocence, humanity, sanity, moral compass, and possibly everyone you know and love.
Wait, how is that awesome?
Because ZSpace. Whatever questions you have, they can probably be answered with ZSpace 2000. And don't forget to bring along a can of Coca-Cola Classic to save big off your season pass now. At the Gardens, the adventure awaits.
Welcome back to Sporadic Phantoms. Personally, I think visiting an amusement park in the middle of a pandemic is not the wisest choice to make, even if they do temperature checks at the door. But anyway, here is the last part of the Be You Now workshop. And listeners, this part may be a little disturbing.
Everyone, let's come back to the present moment. We're going to play a game. Find a partner. Let's take a deep, full breath all together. Take in your partner in front of you. Allow yourself to be seen by your partner. How does it feel to be seen? This is a very simple game. Partner A is going to tell partner B something about themselves. And partner B will give a number 1 through 5 for how vulnerable and open they feel partner A's reveal was. And after a while, we switch roles.
Sometimes I steal some of my roommate's coffee creamer.
1.
I'm afraid of talking to women.
2.
My wife left me and I want her to have full custody of our kids.
3.
I don't understand anything about football.
2.
I feel like a bad mother.
3.
I told my boyfriend his manuscript
I've
was good, but I secretly
hated it. I've been stealing office supplies from work for years.
1. I let 1. My roommate's plant die because I think it's hideous.
I told my daughter the cat ran away, but I ran it over with my car.
I had my wedding on a Thursday, specifically 3. So most of my family couldn't make it.
I blew my $600 stimulus check on the casino.
I still claim unemployment benefits, 2. Even though I started working
I moved
again.
Abroad, so I wouldn't
1.
Be harassed by my grandmother.
I think you are extremely attractive.
2. 3.
Everyone stop. Look over here at Jess. Jess, keep going. Let's make a circle around her.
I don't know if my poetry's any good.
1.
Too easy, Jess.
I shoplifted from Hot Topic.
Now, everybody in the circle, respond with a number together.
1.
That's right. Just a 1. Go deeper, Jess. Come on. What's blocking you?
I don't know.
Look at her body language. Look at her tension. Jess, you're closed off. You're collapsing your neck. You're disengaged. Stand upright. Stop gripping. Let go.
I don't want to go home after this.
2.
My family doesn't accept me.
3.
Is that it?
I'm scared that I'm never going to leave my hometown, and I'll just rot there after high school.
3.
You'll never get out of there. You'll never make it to full member. You'll fail.
Your parents are right about you.
I hate my parents.
Three.
You're not brave enough.
I just want to run away forever.
Three.
Are you just going to keep hiding like a scared little girl? Is that who you want to be? Blah, blah, blah. Give us something real, Jess. Ooh, you're so sad. You have such a hard life. No one believes you. You're hiding from us. Stop blocking.
It's kind of depressing. But growing up in my family, I don't really have a lot of choices. But I try and tell myself over and over that someday soon I can leave and I can make those choices, I can have them. But I feel like something inside of me is dying. And I don't know how much longer I can wait until I turn 18, or if I can, and then just go. It might already be too late. I feel like I'm suffocating. I want to be someone else. I just can't get over how much pain I'm feeling. I don't want to hurt anymore. I want a new family. I want to be loved.
Lay down. I'm going to hold on to your skull now. Relax. Skull heavy hands. That's right. Be with what you feel now. Let it come. Don't tense. Release your grip. You're here with us. We have you. You're okay. Gather closer, everyone. Nothing outside of you is in your control, Jess. But you can choose how you feel and think about any circumstance. So notice how you're feeling. And let's see if you can make a choice right now. Darkness to get to the light. See, we think we have to have such a big say in our lives that we need to be in control of our circumstances. But when we release that belief, we experience true happiness because we won't be hiding ourselves anymore. Jess, when you become a full member of the sharing, there are no more secrets. There's just you and the other. You will reveal your deepest self to the other all the time. At the end of this journey, Jess, someone is going to know you very deeply. A deeper relationship than I have with you as your mentor, Jess. And it's the most beautiful, profound sharing to experience. You will be part of something greater. Then the real work will begin.
Okay, it's a cult.
Guys, it might sound weird to you, but I know plenty of people who are into this kind of stuff. It's not that unusual to me. I've done similar things before with different groups of people.
A cult.
Cult.
Just because you judge something as weird doesn't automatically make it a cult.
Okay, but why is she so unnecessarily harsh with these people? It's like she tells them that no one is a victim so that she can just try to use their personal insecurities to trigger them. Don't you think that's manipulative?
You can't just coddle people all the time, Robin. She's just working with them. Hell, if I took that workshop and she didn't push me, I would want my money back.
What is with all her changes in personality? One minute she's like a serene yoga teacher, the next minute she's like a dictator. Jess is a teenage girl. What is Elizabeth saying to her, really? Why is she telling Jess that she has to totally accept the other, and that she has no actual choice, and that she will have a deep relationship with someone once she's a full member? And Kyle, the sharing isn't charging any money for these BU Now workshops. So tell me, what does the sharing want, if it's not money? What would the sharing want with a vulnerable teenage girl being conditioned to accept whatever happens to her? What are they preparing her for? What is Elizabeth grooming her for?
Grooming her? Are you serious?
I'm dead serious about this, Kyle.
That's it. Stop. Stop this. This isn't going in the podcast.
Kyle, calm down. Jesus.
I will not calm down. Delete this segment. It's not going in. We're not putting it in the episode.
God, you are so ridiculously defensive about somebody you barely know. Someone who is in a leadership position in the organization that we are investigating for possible corruption. What is up with you?
Elizabeth would never, ever be part of something like that. I can't believe you would even suggest that. Robin, you weren't supposed to record this at all. This is people sharing vulnerable things about themselves in the safe space Elizabeth created for them. And you just went and violated that. How dare you? You can't just make a completely unfounded, ridiculous accusation and call it investigating. I really can't believe you right now.
Oh, don't try to get all ethical about this. You were going to record the full members meeting without their consent? Too bad Elizabeth stopped you from doing your job. Too bad your phone died. Yeah, right. Too bad you care about California spotted owls more than human beings. Too bad all you really care about is getting laid.
What? Are you jealous?
Come on, guys. Can we drop it? Robin, we can't make an accusation like that without proof. But Kyle, yeah, it does sound weird and messed up. That's why we have to really think about this. Can we not let our emotions get the best of us here?
I'm not even accusing. Maybe it's an allegation, but I'm just trying not to be naive about this. This could be dangerous.
If you weren't being naive, you'd realize that Elizabeth has nothing to do with the conspiracy and the sharing. In fact, you're just demonizing her workshop because you realize you'd be too afraid to ever be vulnerable enough for it. Okay, I'm done with this nonsense. I'm leaving.
Wait, leaving the investigation?
No. I'll see you later.
Listeners, as you can tell, I didn't delete that segment. Kyle doesn't realize that I've edited it into this episode. Well, he'll realize once he hears it. So he'll be pissed off. But you know what? I don't care. So, that concludes episode 3 of Sporadic Phantoms, The Allegation. Tune in next month for episode 4. Don't forget to check out our Patreon, just to cover these fancy mics we got, and our website, sporadicphantoms.com. But especially, email us with any information that you have about the sharing, or anyone that we've mentioned, to sporadicphantoms@gmail.com. Special thanks to K.A. Applegate, Julie Becker, Zoe Michelle Bradshaw, Ian Buck, Mark Gallagher, Belinda Jew, Lisa Lang, Amber Mastrobatista, Dan Mueller, Marcus Miga, Max Pacheco, Maria Phyllis, Robin Robbins, Abby Savoy, Taylor Schmidt, Lily Varnado, and Jessica Whitehall. We have, in fact, already recorded some other segments that were intended to be part of this episode, so there have been a couple of new developments, but we'll have to save that for next time. I have taken it upon myself to re-edit and release this episode as you have heard it, because I couldn't just let this slide, even if it might make Kyle look bad in the process. But Stevie, you'll forgive me, right? And you know, if we're just going to have to follow different leads, that's fine. And okay, I don't want our disagreements to jeopardize our work. I don't know what's going on in Kyle's head right now, and I don't know what's going to happen moving forward. But we're not giving up so easily. Because this is looking more and more like a dangerous cult. And our investigation might be able to save a lot of people from falling prey to it. Yeah. Even you.